The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Barbara Yakubu. In the headlines, ECOWAS chairman and Ghana's opposition leader congratulate President-elect of Nigeria. President-elect of Nigeria promises to heal wounds. National Council of NPP to meet today to review party's affirmative action policy. And civil society activist says it is unconstitutional for government to retain 10% of royalties to mining companies. The news in detail. President John Mahama has sent a message of congratulations to the president-elect of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, General Muhammadu Buhari. The president congratulated him on his great victory and his contribution towards the peaceful conduct of the historic elections, which marks an important milestone not only in the democratic development of Nigeria, but also the continent as a whole. The president, who is the chair of the ECOWAS Authority of Heads of State and Government, also congratulated all the political stakeholders, electoral officials, and the people of Nigeria on their belief and commitment to the strengthening of democracy and good governance. President Mahama commended President Goodluck Jonathan for his political maturity and statesmanship, describing his call to President-elect Buhari as a mark of courage and a respect for the will of the Nigerian people. President Mahama hailed the Nigerian elections as a triumph for the new Africa that is emerging. Meanwhile, the flag bearer of the opposition NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has also congratulated President-elect of Nigeria, Muhammadu Buhari. Results released from 35 states by Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, puts the former military leader in a commanding lead ahead of incumbent Goodluck Jonathan. Nana Akufo-Addo, on his Twitter handle, congratulated General Buhari by saying, "Through the peaceful exercise of their sovereign and democratic right to elect their own leaders, the people of Nigeria have strengthened the frontiers of democracy for all other African countries to emulate." Goodluck Jonathan early on conceded defeat and called General Buhari and congratulated him. Nigeria's President-elect Muhammadu Buhari has promised to heal wounds and work towards the future, as he describes defeated Goodluck Jonathan as a worthy opponent and has extended a hand of fellowship to him. The opposition NPP is urging Ghana's Electoral Commission to learn from Nigeria's experience by demystifying the so-called strong room. According to the General Secretary of the NPP, Kobney Japon, there should be an open coalition center accessible to accredited journalists and observers, while highly knowledgeable people are recruited as coalition agents.
Nigeria is, I would say, our big brother, the largest of the countries from the west of Africa. We are historically close with Nigeria, and the things that happen there sometimes have a snowball effect in Ghana. So I've been following it. I'm sure that may be around 4 a.m. just monitoring what was going on in Africa. We just hope that so far it appears that the conduct of the election has been very peaceful, with a few incidents here and there. And I'm impressed with the way they've adopted what we today at the NPP, as part of our proposals for electoral reform, the demystifying of the Electoral Commission strong room. We have this huge national coalition center in the conference, the national conference, where accredited journalists, stakeholders, and Electoral Commission members themselves are there, and they chosen to appoint coalition officers of very high caliber professors and vice chancellors, universities. I think it's something that we should learn from them. I know the Electoral Commission, as part of the reform we are still envisioned, have indicated their willingness to also appoint coalition officers. I hope that they can appoint officers of the caliber of what we saw in Nigeria. And that can be a big task for us. And also the fact that all these coalition officers fly from wherever they are to the coalition center physically to attend the resolve to the returning officer, who is the chairman of the Electoral Commission before you declare. There's a situation here in Ghana where the returning officer, who is the chairman of the Electoral Commission, doesn't get to physically see the resolve themselves before they declare. It's something that we've been worried about at NPP. So we believe that it's an opportunity for us to learn from the Nigerian experience. They have a much bigger country. They have a much bigger population. We've been able to manage. And I think that it's high time we appointed 275 knowledgeable coalition officers of high caliber who will be able to get into Accra within a day and bring physically the coalitions of every constituency before we can put it together to declare a presidential result.
General Secretary of NPP, Kobna Ejiofor. Meanwhile, the National Council of the NPP will meet today to review some decisions it took early on regarding guidelines for its parliamentary primaries. Some branch and constituency executives have protested against the affirmative action policy outlined by the National Executive Committee and have since petitioned the party's leadership. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Ejiofor said all those issues will be discussed at the meeting. He indicated that nominations have opened and aspirants are picking their forms.
The process has begun and all the nomination forms have been dispatched to the various regional capital, and in fact, in some constituencies, they've already received nomination forms. I got a report from Wenchi about an hour or so ago. Some people were taking forms at the Wenchi office of the party. So, in all earnest, in most of the regional capital, the forms have been discussed.
We understand that a certain group within the party called polling station chairman and some worried members on NPP have issued a statement or petition to the Clark Bella and the National Executive, and they are saying that they are not very happy with the situation whereby some party officials are resigning en masse to contest the primaries. Has that come to your notice?
Now, it's an unfortunate development, but our party's constitution allows them to do so, although it is not something that most of us are happy about, because we expect that when you sign up to become a chairman of a constituency, you sign up for the next 4 years to be able to help strengthen that constituency and deliver it at the general election. Unfortunately, it appears that quite a number of constituency chairmen and other elected officers have decided to rather stand down their current positions and go and compete parliamentary primaries. It's a bit of a problem for the party because while on a moral standpoint, some of us feel that it's not the best thing to do, but constitutionally, there's not much we can do about that. Anyway, we'll go to National Council, the second highest decision-making body, apart from the National Congress. Since the National Executive Committee took certain decisions, there's been quite a number of reactions, the diverse views, the positions for or against some of the proposals that were adopted. And I believe the National Council will take a decision on those days. They will have a sober reflection of the issues and then a decision arrived at.
Mr. Ejiofor also described as unfortunate the situation where party executives are resigning to contest the primaries.
Well, it just goes to show you how attractive our party is. It's always been a party, deep in democratic party, a party that has a solid tradition, a party that has survived the very Ghanaian politics over 50 years. It is the principle that we espouse. And of course, the last 8 years, between 2001 and 2009, everybody bears testimony to the kind of record that the work that we did as that shows that the party is very attractive to Ghanaians. And so I'm not surprised that these illustrious sons of Ghana are showing interest to be parliamentary aspirants on our party's ticket. It goes to show you, in fact, and I believe that the great many Ghanaians today are counting on the NPP to come back into power in 2017 to redeem the country from the incompetent Mahama administration. Ours, in my view, is a redemption mission. Ghanaians are counting on our political party. That's why I've always been advising those who speak for us, our communicators, those who ask for the NPP, to act in a manner that will attract a lot more people to the party. Essential. Ghanaians have confidence in this political tradition. And we have to display that confidence by justifying that confidence when we're in government. I'm not surprised that all these illustrious fans of Ghana that is mentioned, and people who have achieved modest contributions to Ghanaian society in various fields, and some of the names you mentioned, and they are all eager to join the bad world.
Mr. Ejiofor also touched on the announcement by embattled businessman Alfred Agbashibuyomi that he intends to refund the controversial 52.2 million Ghana cedis judgment debt paid him to the state by the end of this year. Mr. Ejiofor said it is sad that officials who illegally paid Mr. Wayomi are still walking free.
It's a very sad situation, and my blame goes to the president, cabinet, and because the ministers are put into place and they swear to make sure that they defend the people of Ghana and to look after our public affairs. If you look at the complicity of ministers of the NDC in all these twofold payments that now the Supreme Court has ordered their arrest contractors. And unfortunately, the president has taken no action at all against the government minister who had a role to play. I said, imagine how many things we said that none of these businessmen walked into the Bank of Ghana with an AK-47 to those banks. We were able to take those banks because other state officials colluded. These state officials are walking free. There's a lot for the so-called commitment of this government to the fight against corruption. And I think that the president should be up and doing. He believes in basic protests. Some ministers make very serious mistakes. They're sitting around and sometimes bring them to the presidency. That's not the way to run a government. We need to send a strong signal to his men, all political appointees, that if we use the state's pressure, they shall be penalized for it. Serious penalty. So far, I don't think we've been able to garner the courage. That's my biggest disappointment with it. The good people of Ghana, our scarce resource leading, we could have used that to do things that matter to the people of Ghana.
But in any case, it should be good news that the man himself is trying to refund the money to the state by the end of the year.
Why? It's bad news. Ghana has cost a huge amount of money over this period of time, and you are talking about good news. I don't see that at all.
General Secretary of the NPP, Kwabena Ejiofor, talking to Bubukli Nogo. The Supreme Court has granted the Attorney General the local standing to execute the court's judgment ordering businessman Alfred Agbashiboyomi to refund the 52 million Ghana cedis judgment debt paid to him by the state. The AG filed an application at the Supreme Court seeking direction to enforce the order to compel Mr. Woyomi to pay the money. By this ruling of the Supreme Court, the AG has been vested with the power to use any appropriate means to recover the money from Mr. Woyomi. Lawyer for Mr. Woyomi, Osafo Boabing, was opposed to the application, arguing that the AG had no locus. His submission was, however, dismissed by the panel, which was chaired by the Chief Justice Georgina Wood, who said Mr. Boabing's submission had no legal basis. Mr. Osafo Boabing, however, told the court that his client is already in consultation with the AG to negotiate a payment plan. He said the money will be refunded to the state by the end of the year. The Chief Justice warned that a higher crime could be imposed if Mr. Woyomi refuses to refund the money. Meanwhile, the Executive Director of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim, says though businessman Alfred Woyomi has indicated that he refunded the judgment debt paid him to the state by December, there's no guarantee that he will do so. According to him, others have had similar arrangements with the state in the past but failed. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Azim says he will have to adopt a wait-and-see attitude to Mr. Woyomi's promise.
I think that he alone cannot unilaterally decide that he wants to pay, but he has probably entered into an agreement with the Attorney General on behalf of the state. If they have agreed to that and the court has accepted it, we do not have much to say, even though the state could have used other means to get the money paid immediately, such as seizing properties, assets of his, and covering the money. But for whatever good reasons that the state has agreed to enter into that agreement, we just probably have to live by it if the Supreme Court has accepted it. But the concern here is that last year there were similar agreements. You remember the Gida case, that they were going to pay the money by the end of the year, paid only 14 million, and we've not heard anything again about that money. That is probably not the only money that was supposed to be paid, and nothing has happened. So what is the guarantee now that these monies will be paid as promised by William? And especially as he is always reported by the media as a financier of the NDC, and the impression people have that either people in the party or the party itself has an interest in his not paying the money. So those are the concerns that I would have.
Judging from your comments, do I get the sense that you doubt if Mr. Woyomi will pay by the end of the year as he has indicated?
I'm just saying that is a concern that we cannot dismiss, because we've seen what has happened in the past. The Gida case is still pending. No money, apart from the 14 million that was paid, we have not heard of any other payment. And it's not the only case. So what is the guarantee that this money will be paid? So it's a concern.
I've also heard people raise concerns about the fact that this money, the 51.2 million today, Mr. Woyomi is not supposed to pay any interest on it. What do you also make of it?
Again, when you look at the judgment debt that government has paid, the monies have been inflated because of interest. The state is paying interest on money that is owed in judgment debt. So why should somebody take money from the state and not also pay interest? I think it is not fair to the state. We are not being fair to the state. And so that is something that is worrying.
Executive Director of the Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. ECOWAS Chairman and Ghana's opposition leader congratulate President-elect of Nigeria. President-elect of Nigeria promises to heal wounds. National Council of NPP to meet today to review party's affirmative action policy. And civil society activist says it is unconstitutional for government to retain 10% of royalties to mining companies. The rest of the news. Former military ruler Muhammadu Buhari has become the first opposition candidate to win a presidential election in Nigeria. General Buhari beat incumbent Goodluck Jonathan by more than 2.5 million votes. Observers have generally praised the election, though there have been allegations of fraud. Mr. Jonathan telephoned his rival to concede defeat. A spokesman for Mr. Buhari's All Progressive Congress praised Mr. Jonathan, saying he'll remain a hero for this move. We bring you a news desk report.
It's a historic time for Nigeria, Africa's biggest country. General Buhari's supporters have celebrated by dancing and singing in the streets in APC strongholds, including the northern city of Kano and Kaduna. Nigeria's Electoral Commission officially declared the 72-year-old general winner of the presidential election this morning. The APC won over 15 million votes, and Mr. Jonathan's People's Democratic Party had more than 12 million votes. General Buhari's victory is a huge significant moment in Nigeria's turbulent history. Never before has a sitting president been defeated in an election. Since independence from Britain in 1960, there have been numerous coups and most elections have been rigged. The poll has once again brought to the fore dangerous religious and regional differences, and there is still a threat of violence. The man who has been voted out, Goodluck Jonathan, has played a huge part in trying to prevent that by making a congratulatory phone call to Mr. Buhari. The APC issued a statement after the results was announced, calling for calm, sober celebrations and warning supporters not to attack opponents. The former military ruler dominated the country's northwestern states, which have suffered most from attacks by Islamic militant group Boko Haram. It is the fourth time that General Buhari, 72, has sought the presidency. The verdict on Mr. Buhari's 20 months as military ruler is mixed. The European Union's top diplomat, Federica Mogherini, congratulated General Buhari on his victory, saying she looks forward to working with him.
That was a news desk report. And back home, the coordinator of the civil society platform on oil and gas, Dr. Steve Manteau, says the practice of retaining 10% of royalties to mining communities by government is unconstitutional because it is not backed by any law. Speaking to Radio Ghana at Elmina after a workshop on the review of the 2012-2013 Ghana Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative on oil and gas, organized by the IAVG in collaboration with the GIZ, Dr. Manteau said the practice undermines the right of Parliament in exercising its watchdog role over the expenditure of the executive. He says he will soon go to the Supreme Court to seek interpretation of the law on that particular disbursement.
Sending royalty to mining communities is unconstitutional. It is based on Article 267 of the Constitution. That provision is actually in respect of school land revenue and not state revenue. Now, again, if you look at the budget that is sent to Parliament for approval, it does not include the community share of royalties, the 10% or the 20% that is set aside, which means Parliament's right to oversee the executive's expenditures has been undermined, because the Constitution says that all public expenditures must be approved by Parliament, and that includes that royalty that has been sent to mining communities. And so far they have not been approved by Parliament, it's unconstitutional. So Dr. Steve Manteau wants to go to the Supreme Court to seek interpretation of the practice of returning 10% of royalties to mining host communities. This does not mean that Dr. Steve Manteau thinks that no money should be sent to the mining communities. In fact, I believe that it will be helped to send even 30% to the mining community, not 10%. But it must be done properly in accordance with the law.
Dr. Steve Mantuya on disbursement of 10% of royalties to mining communities. The National Labour Commission has received 6,713 complaints since establishment 10 years ago, 3,438 representing 51.3% have also been fully settled. The rest are different levels of settlement. Chairman of the Commission, Edward Brukubwedu, gave the statistics at the workshop in Accra. He said the Commission recorded 97 strikes and none met the requirements, therefore making all of them illegal. Priscilla Osuansa has more.
The National Labour Commission was established in 2005 to sustain a peaceful industrial relations environment and resolve disputes within the context of the law. The chairman of the commission, Mr. Edward Brikunyaku, cited the lack of clarity in terms and conditions of appointment as a major difficulty the commission mostly deals with. He said in some cases, there are no appointments or contracts at all, and thus makes settling disputes between employers and employees difficult.
In the public sector, the health sector and the education sector recorded the highest number of complaints to the commission. And in the private sector, the financial institutions, manufacturing and small and medium scale businesses recorded very high numbers. The commission within the 10 years also recorded 97 strikes from both the public and private sectors of the economy. From the public sector, education again and health recorded the highest numbers, while for the private sector, manufacturing and production sectors recorded very high numbers. Terms and conditions of employment are required by the Labour Act under Section 13. Some organizations also do not issue employment contracts at all, not even appointment letters. People work in organizations for 10 years or more without any contract of employment.
The chairman listed some challenges that undermine the work of the commission, the biggest being inadequate resources. The acting executive secretary of the commission, Dr. Bernice Welbeck, said the workshop is for social partners to review the performance, setbacks and future of the commission. She added that the commission is committed to ensuring fair treatment in labor and also the protection of the rights, responsibilities and investments of employers.
Priscilla also answered, the AME has been admitted into the 100 Resilient Cities Network. The network is dedicated to helping cities around the world to become more resilient to physical, social and economic challenges. The president of the Rockefeller Foundation, Dr. Judith Woden, made this known when she called on the chief executive of the AMA, Alfred Vanderpoel, in Accra. Brighton Trauma has more.
The city of Accra has been engulfed in filth, leading to the worst outbreak of cholera in the country. It also faces global challenges like unemployment, water shortage, inefficient public transport system, and flooding. Any city that addresses these challenges is qualified to be a member of the 100 Resilient Cities. The president of Rockefeller Foundation, Dr. Judith Rodin, speaks about some of the benefits.
The Rockefeller Foundation has a number of initiatives that are in addition to 100 Resilient Cities. And one of those is a $100 million initiative called Digital Jobs Africa, where we're focusing on six countries in Africa, North and Sub-Saharan Africa. And one of those six countries is Ghana. And the first of those projects is an investment of several million dollars with Rockefeller and the World Bank to develop the business processing center that the mayor mentioned that will help to make Ghana a destination for BPO outsourcing.
The chief executive officer of AMA, Alfred Okovandepoy, assured the Rockefeller delegation that the AMA will do all it can to make Accra a better city.
Bryson Tramas reports. The National Union of Ghana Students, NUCS, has sent a congratulatory message to students sitting for this year's West African Senior Secondary Certificate Examination, WASI. In a statement, the union says it appreciates the difficulty of writing exams at a time of intermittent power outages, but is hopeful that the sacrifices students have made throughout the three-year period in school will not be in vain. As the union wishes the students success, it also admonishes them to strictly adhere to all the examination rules and regulations and eschew every act of examination malpractice. Gas Board, an association of GBC retirees, has called off its planned demonstration because the Controller and Accountant General's Department promised to grant two of its requests. According to the chairman of the association, David Anaglate, the department agreed to pay pension arrears to all members next month. Zephaniah Dana has the details.
The Association of Past Broadcasters of GBC Gas Board last Wednesday issued a threat that they will go on demonstration if the Pensions Office of the Controller and Accountant General's Department failed to resolve issues surrounding their pensions and gratuities. A meeting was called yesterday at the instance of the Controller and Accountant General, where executive members of the association met with the officials of the Pensions Office to decide on the way forward. The chairman of Gas Board, David Ananglate, said two out of the three requests they put forward were granted, but they are still not satisfied with the way the Pensions Office is handling the computation of their gratuities.
They agreed on some of our requests, such as using the full list. They agreed on it. Secondly, they agreed to pay the arrears of pensions to everybody who qualified in April, and those who got a part, they will pay the remainder also in April. That was a concession. The right computation of the gratuity. The accountant general said that will have to be policy change. So they will look at it. That is why we are partly satisfied, but partly not satisfied, especially on this question of the gratuity computation. That is why we wanted to hold this demonstration, but they asked us to put it off. We have suspended it.
Gasbot says apart from fighting for what is due them, they are also doing it for posterity, so that seven staff of GBC do not suffer the same fate when they retire.
That was the Fanaya Dana's report. To end the news, the main points again. ECOWAS chairman and Ghana's opposition leader, Nana Akufo-Addo, have congratulated President-elect of Nigeria. The President John Mahama congratulated him on his great victory and his contribution towards the peaceful conduct of the historic elections. Nigeria's President-elect Muhammadu Buhari has promised to heal wounds and restore the future as he describes defeated Goodluck Jonathan as a worthy opponent and has extended the hand of fellowship to him. And the National Council of the Opposition NPP will be meeting today to review some decisions it took early on regarding guidelines for its parliamentary primaries. And that ends the news broadcast on Radio Ghana, Accra.